Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shurim Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bava Metzia Daf Nun Hei Amud Bet, about to begin the 8th Mishnah, study the 8th Mishnah of the 4th Perek. In the previous Mishnah, we list the Chamesh Prutot, the 5 different areas where the minimum threshold is a Pruta. Now we have Chamesha Chumshin Hein. There are 5 different areas where there's a Chomesh. And we've seen them already. Elohina ochel truma, if somebody eats truma, and it's a non-coin eats truma, utrumat maaser, there's a subset of it. Vich truma, trumat maaser, utrumat maaser shel d'mai. Now, why don't we mention truma of d'mai? Because we don't separate truma of d'mai, because in Ameha Aretz, on whose account we have to separate d'mai, we're evidently very careful to separate truma. So we have to separate maaser, then trumat maaser, and maaser sheni. But, if you eat trumat maser shel d'mai, you have to pay not only the value, but also the chomesh. V'hachalav bikurim. All of these are things that only kohanim may eat. If a non-kohen eats it, he's chayav karen v'chomesh. Alright, that's one. Second, hapoden neta revayu maser sheni shelo. If somebody redeems maser sheni, which is how we got into the whole discussion of chomesh, here's the redemption of maser sheni, which, if you recall, began with the issue of Ona'a Bekesef, which is a real topic, and the fact that a coin that may be slightly deficient could still be used for Pinyon Maser. In any case, if you redeem your own Maser Sheni, you have to add a Chomesh. According to Beit Hillel, that applies also to Neta Ravai, which is the fruit of the 4th year, which must be eaten in Yerushalayim or be redeemed. You have to add a Chomesh. Mosif Chomesh. Abodei Hekdesho Mosif Chomesh. If you redeem your own Hektesh, you have to pay a chomesh. Above. If you get hanoa, in other words, mi'ila, you have to add a chomesh. If you stole something from a fellow, at least a shavaprut, and you took a shvuah, it turns out you lied, you have to pay a chomesh above and beyond the karen of what you stole. Those are the 5 chumashim. Now, Amar Rava. Kashle Rabbi Lazar, Trumat Maser Shel D'mai. Rabbi Lazar had a problem with the inclusion of Trumat Maser Shel D'mai here. Why? Remember, the whole issue of D'mai is a Rabbanan. Do you think that Chachamim made their law as strong as the Torah, that you have to add Chomesh? In other words, what Rabbi Lazar was asking is, wouldn't the Rabbanan want to make sure that everyone understood that D'mai is less severe, and in order to do so, have eliminated the need for Chomesh? So Nachman Rav Shmuel, Hamani Rav Meir. Remember the personalities here. Rabbi Lazar in Tveria asked the question, why is there a payment of Chomesh for Trumat Maser Shel D'mai? And Rav Shmuel in Babel answered, it's authored by Rav Meir. Rav Meir is of the opinion that when the Rabbanan legislated something, they legislated it to have the same power as a law from the Torah. What's his proof? Titania. If somebody comes from Medina Tayam, gives a get, and does not say the formula, the rabbinically ordained formula, mandated formula, Yotziv Avlad Mamzid Rameir. If somebody else marries her, he has to divorce her. Any child resulting from that get is a mamzer because the get was nothing. Even though Midorite, it's a fine get. Chum Omim and Avlad Mamzer. Chum disagree, and they say the kid's not a mamzer. So what do you do? Just take the get back from her, give it back to her, and all is fine, but anything that may have occurred in the meantime, after you gave her the get without the declaration, she still was a pnuya, and her marriage to somebody else was fine, and the kids are fine, etc. So you see that Rameyer put a spin on it, that the Rabbanan created the obligation, which he discussed the whole first sugyan gittin, became lishmai, mitzuyim, that they created the obligation to declare fanechtam. It becomes a sine qua non, and without it, there is no get, and without it, the resultant child is a mamzer. Just because you failed to do it according to the rabbinic dictate, the kid is a mamzer. In Rameyer the Tamei. Now, Rameyer here has a slightly different formulation than Shmuel says in his name. Rameyer used to say, anybody who changes even in one iota from the form that the Chachamim established for Gittin, the new husband has to divorce her, and any child that came from that second relationship is a mamzer. So in other words, Rabbi Meir maintains that the Rabbanan's added framework of Gittin is as strong as the Torah. So Meitiv Rav Sheshet, Rav Sheshet then challenged this proof of Shmuel and this statement. Mechalin oto kesef al kesef. You have maser sheni shel d'mai, and you redeemed it. You can redeem then the coins that you have on other kesef, nechoshet al nechoshet, or if you have copper coins, you can redeem them on other copper coins. Kesef al nechoshet, you can even take silver and redeem it onto nechoshet. On nechoshet al perot, or even copper back on fruit, v'achzor v'yifteh perot, then you have to return the fruit back to coins. Divrei Rav Meir. So you see that Rav Meir allows for having copper coins that were used for pinyon maser sheni shel d'mai. Keep that in mind. Only in that last particular case, when you redeem coins on the fruit, instead of re-redeeming them, take the fruit to Yerushalayim. Okay, but our concern is as follows. Since when are you allowed to redeem kesef on the choshet? V'hatnan, if you have a coin of maser sheni and a regular coin and they got mixed up together, what do you do? You have to bring ma'ot, meaning silver coins, worth a sella. You have to say whichever one of those two is the maser sheni coin is redeemed on these coins. And then among the other two you find the best one. And then, you can redeem kesef on nechoshet, but only in exigent circumstances. And you have to return and put them back on the kesef, which means, in a case, all right, only under exigent circumstances and only very temporarily can you redeem kesef on nechoshet. And that's me, right? And Rameir nonetheless said, when it comes to Maser Sheni Shel D'mai, the Chatchila you could do it. So you see that Rameir holds that when Chachamim established the law, it's not as strong as Shel Torah. His solution of Sheshet's challenge was Shmuel's right. Rameir really is very holds that rabbinic law is as strong as Torah law, but only in certain circumstances. So as an example, they're very machmir about eating maser. Eating, let's say, eight trumot maser, you have to pay a chomish. But as far as redemption, so he's Michael. The Tanya, how do we know? Lo hitirulim kor d'mai el siton bilvad. That Rav Meir is of the opinion that you're not allowed to sell d'mai except to a wholesaler, because everybody who buys from a wholesaler knows that he gets from a lot of different people. They'll separate their own masrot. Uvalabayit ben kach uven kach tzurich laser. But a balabayit, who might be an end user, whether or not he's getting the fruit as an end user or he's going to sell it further, has to separate masrot divrei Rav Meir. This is about d'mai. Echad hasiton v'echad balabayit mocher v'sholech l'chaviro noten lo matana. Whether it's a vendor or just a person who's doing resale, individual guy, he can get the stuff, he can send it further, he can give it as a gift, he can sell it, ve'eno choshesh, and the guy on the other end is going to get it because it's d'mai and we're mekil. So we see that Rameir, when it comes to eating d'mai, is very machmir, but we see that he's relatively mekil and sees a distinction between d'mai and vadai when it comes to pinyon. Good. So Meitiv Ravina says, but I got a challenge to that. If you buy bread from a baker who is an Amharit, so you have to be worried about Tamai. You could separate masrot from the hot bread onto the older cold bread, and sonet al chama, vice versa. Afilu midfusim harbe. You could even separate from one tray onto another. Divrei Rav Meir. So you see that Rav Meir says that even when it comes to separating Tamai itself, we're not as careful. So I understand how you could separate from the cold onto the hot, meaning that the trumat maset you're going to end up giving is going to be of inferior quality. It's older. That follows Rabbi Loi. How do I know that if you separate bad stuff to cover good stuff, meaning inferior quality as the truma for good stuff, how do I know it's valid? Shinemar, the Torah says, the end of Parsha Korach, velotisu alav chet bar mechemet chal bo mianu. You will not be a sinner if you lift up the best stuff. What does that mean? That means that if you give up inferior stuff, it's not a nice thing, but it's still valid. Otherwise, there's no chet. You lift up, if giving the bad stuff isn't truma at all, there's no chet, there's just no truma. That's the way Rabbi Elo reads the pasuk. So mikamla tarmin aral efesh tumat tor truma. So that's how I know that if you give the inferior stuff as truma, it's valid, although obviously not ideal. So therefore, if you separate the cold bread onto the hot bread, that's good. Elafilu mitfusim arbeim. But how can you separate from different trays? Lechush tamate fushim achiv alaptur and aptur alachiv. Maybe this tray is from stuff that was musar, and you're then separating it on stuff that's not musar, or vice versa. Right, Amar Abaye there. So Rameyer seems to be saying that we're very makel when it comes to Dmai. Even with Dmai itself, not just with the Pidyon. So Amar Abaye, Rabbi Elazar Shaper Kakashale. So now Abaye looks back at the whole sugya and he says as follows. Rabbi Elazar had a good question. What was his good question? Why do we have to give a chomesh for Trumat Maser Shal Dmai? It's the Rabbanan. Ushmuel lo Shaper Kamashanile. And then he says Shmuel's answer was not so good. Why? The kasha of the Rabbi Elazar, mita b'dei shamayim. Rabbi Elazar was bothered about a case of mita b'dei shamayim. In other words, eating trumat maser, non-kohen eating trumat maser is mita b'dei shamayim if he did it b'mezid, if it was vadai. Numashani le Shmuel mitat beitin, and Shmuel gave an answer from the case of eshet ish, which is mitat beitin, which is far more severe. Numashani mitat beitin the chamira. In other words, maybe Rav Meir doesn't have one shita, which we had to come to that conclusion. About rabbinic legislation, he said sometimes it's as chamur as Torah, sometimes it's not as chamur. So the distinction that Rav Yosef gave was that we distinguish between pidyon and achila. But really, Shmuel's answer already begs the question. Maybe Rav Meir would say that the Rabbanan are not as machmir as the Torah law when it comes to something like mita b'nei shamayim, but when it comes to eshet ish, which is a capital crime, they're the machmir. Rav Sheshet lo shaper kamotiv lei, and Rav Sheshet's challenge, therefore, from the Nechoshet is also not a good challenge to Kamri inu mita, because their point was from mita, Rav Meir's machmir, Rav Sheshet lav. And Rav Sheshet, all he did was challenge from a lav, which is, that you cannot eat maser sheni outside of the walls. So therefore, the whole issue of redemption comes down to a particular lav, meaning eating maser sheni outside of the walls of Yerushalayim is an issue of a lav, and therefore when it comes to redemption, etc., all of that falls under that lav. So therefore, he said, Rameyer is as machmir b'chashel Torah when it comes to chiyuv mita of eshet ish. There's no challenge that you can't challenge that by saying, but when it comes to a lav greater, he's not machmir. But according to Rav Sheshet's challenge, Rav Yosef's answer is good, which is we distinguish between eating and pidyon. Very good. Al Ravina demotiv v'nachtom l'sayalei mipalter, but Ravina challenged this entire thing from the rule of v'nachtom, which is separating the bread from one tray to another. Why doesn't he support this direction that Rav Meir is indeed machmir from the din of a palter? A palter is a retail seller of bread. T'nana lukech min a paltar. If you buy from a paltar, me'aser min kol tfus utfus to Rav Meir. Rav Meir says you have to separate from each tray separately. Because, like the Chomer, Paltar mitrei plata garvizom, and the answer is that a retailer gets his bread from several different bakers. And for each tray, maybe from a different baker, and this one may be maaser, this one may be not, and therefore you have to separate because that you may be min aptur al achiyuv. Nachtom nami michat gavra huzavin. But a baker, on the other hand, gets it from one guy, it's all his stuff from one guy, and therefore you could separate from one to the other. So all of this was Abaye's analysis of the entire Mahalach. Rav Elazar's question, Shmuel's answer, Rav Sheshet's Shmuel's challenge, Rav Sheshet's defense, Rav Yosef's resolution, and he evaluated who challenged well and who didn't. Rava has a different take. Shmuel Shaper Kamashani Lewai Shemita Ba'olam. He says that that Shmuel's challenge really was a good challenge because he says it's shem mita, meaning mita b'nei shamayim, mita beitin. It's all mita. In other words, these are clearly very serious crimes because they carry some sort of death penalty, whether heavenly or in the earthly court. And therefore, if we see that Rav Meir, you're going to challenge. Why is it that we add the chomesh there? So Shmuel says, I have a simple answer, which is that it follows Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, whenever you have something involving the death penalty, whereas machmir on a derabanan, as we are with the doraita. Okay, we'll stop at this point. We'll pick it up in the next podcast of Yitzhak Hashem at the next Mishnah, which starts discussing those things where ona'a does not apply.